the Lord's house this morning.
We say the song was the same color at the ends of the table.
She said, "You reckon God can do that by stuff like that for people?" I said, "Well, He said He can use His heart. God, He knows how to match colors. And He's sufficient it just right in our heads."
Amen. Come on, Brother Wayne Henderson. Amen. You come mind the Lord, brother. You
do whatever God have you to do.
Amen. I appreciate it. My. What a day. What a good, sweet day. I'm sure glad to be here today. I've looked forward to this. I always look forward to old time churches. I go to some that ain't old time, though, now. I went to Canada the other day. You want to try that? Brother Milby swore he wasn't going to go back north. I don't know where he will or don't. We had a time. And I went to South Georgia. And it's old-timey. An old-timey church. I like old-timey churches. It's good to be saved. I'm glad I'm saved. And I want to agree. I think you ain't going to never sing no better song than when this thing is over, the only thing that's going to matter. I don't know where you've made your fixings or not, but I made mine. When this thing's over, I done hooked up with the right guy, and he ain't going to be over. Amen. Amen. It's so good to be here. I'm just looking forward to this good meeting. I'm glad I brought my daughter and three grandchildren with me. And we tried to hogtie her husband. He's a big fella, though. Couldn't get him up here. But we swore we was going to sue him for something because he wouldn't come. He might break down and come. I don't know. You can't tell. God knows how to do that. Amen. I'm sure glad to see you. It's good to see the sister on the altar. It's good to see Brother Ted's wife on the altar. It's always good to find an altar. Don't be afraid of the altar. There's a lot of blood on the altar. I like to get on the altar where there's a lot of blood. And I don't mean real blood like this comes out of here. I'm talking about heart yielded. Amen. Ain't that right? Turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Laying in that bed, God breathes. I tell you, there ain't nothing like the breath of God. Amen. The breath of heaven. Nothing like the breath of heaven. Preachers don't know how to do that no more. They're too busy. Too busy mowing the grass and vacuuming the carpet and building buildings while to stay alone in the woods with God. I can't even pray with my wife. It's the best friend in the world I got right there, but I got to be alone. I'd rather be alone with God than anybody I know in this world. Oh, my. Oh, if you just understood. There's God back in there. You don't even know His name. He didn't tell nobody what His name was. Jesus called Him Abba. Old Daddy. You'd say it, Old Daddy. Jesus called Him Abba. He's back in there. He's the Father. He's the author of all of it. He didn't even tell that boy when he was coming back. He's God. Right in front of Him is the only way I can ever see God is Him, Jesus. He said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. God said you can't live if you see the Father. But when you see Him now, you can live. If you don't see Him, you ain't going to live. And out of the throne comes life itself, that river, a flowing river of life. So the three parts of the Godhead are right there seen. And when you pray, God lives in you. Does God live in you? You're saved? You saved? God lives in there. He knows the hairs of the guy sitting by you, knows every hair on his head. He knows everything all the time. He knows all the laws all the time. How far it is to there and how far it is to another place. He knows it all the time. He lives right in there, Brother Ted. He lives in there and He knows everything about you that I don't know. He still knows it. He lives in there. If you can communicate with Him with this flesh, this mind, if you could communicate with Him, then you'd know everything God knows if He wanted to tell you. You just think about that now. Brother Milby will stop sometime right in the middle of a sermon and or getting ready to preach and say, no preaching. There's somebody over here needs to get saved. Or over here. That's a communicating with that spirit. Oh my. I want that. I'd rather have that than to live another minute, a second of my life. I want that communication. As my heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my heart after thee, O God, to see thee, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Look at the Bibles today, Luke chapter 4. As a matter of fact, what you just did is what they did in that synagogue when he read them words. Bible said in verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And by the way, this is not the first time he did anything. This has been probably a year or maybe part of it, most of a year before he come back here. He's already done some miracles. He's already got everybody's attention. He's already making himself known. He came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. I don't know how you feel about this. And Jesus didn't agree with what was going on in that synagogue. They were hypocrites in that synagogue. And I mean, they were real raw bone hypocrites. But he found it his need to go to church. It don't matter whether sinners are in there or not, buddy. If they're in there, it don't matter. Go to church. Go to church. That was his custom to go to church. It didn't matter about them hypocrites. Somebody said, I'm not going down there over to hypocrites. You pump gas through a hose, a hypocrite just turned loose of, buddy. Didn't slow you down a bit. Amen. We ought to go to church. It's his custom to go to church. He went into synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. He opened the book in verse 17. He closed the book in verse 20. And gave it again to minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them, if you don't understand what that is, you can say anything in the Greek language you want to say any way you want, as strong as you want it. And that's a strong statement. They looked on him with strong intent. The Bible said, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. I want us to pray. Father, I want to praise you and thank you today for your sweet love and grace. I pray that you'll open my mind. Keep the fire burning in my heart. Keep the fire burning, Lord. Don't let everything go to hell. I don't want to die with a dead ashes. I want to die on fire for you, Lord. Breathe into me today. Breathe those same breaths into me on the prayer way. Oh, I pray you'll open my heart and let me express myself to this good crowd. And Lord, somehow another sinner might be find a way to get in. And maybe some old saint will pull on back up and the fire be rekindled in their life. Oh, help us worship you today and thank you for it. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You be seated. I'm interested in them two phrases there. He opened the book and he closed the book. And there's a lot of questions you ought to ask, Brother Ken, about that. What is the book? When did he open it? When did he close it? And who done the opening? It makes a whole lot of difference, Brother Dale. Who opens the book, what the book is, when it's opened, and when it's closed. That's right. And if you want to know, he's quoting out of Isaiah 61. Just turn your Bible back there and see what he's quoting. Isaiah 61 and probably 42 or 42:7 or something like that. These are the same verses, just about nearly. Isaiah 61, look what it says. And here my, no, no, 62. What is it? 62, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Which verse is it, Ben? 61, 62, or chapter. Oh, I'm looking in the wrong chapter. Isaiah. I've turned to Psalm. Let me look at this. Yeah, I got you. 61, it's the one I asked you to go to, 61. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Look what it said. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. This word for gospel is euangelion. Eu is good, and angelion is the same word for angel, message, or messenger. And it is a good message. Brother Milby said it's a good message. Somebody don't want to hear it. No, it isn't. But it is to somebody that wants to hear it. Amen. And he said, anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to provide, proclaim liberty to the captives, to open the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And it didn't read anymore. He just shut it off right there. But there is more. There's a book. There's more to this reading right here. And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn, and you can read the rest of it. I'm interested in the opening of that book and the closing of that book. And I know what it is in this context right here. Just about sure I'm going to say it right. He is saying the old dispensation's over and a new one started. He closed the book on the old way. Hebrews, the whole book's written about that. He said he'd done away with the first that he may establish the second. Peter said on that day they was arguing about doctrine, he said we couldn't do it, our fathers couldn't do it, and we can't do it, and why would we lay it on people something we couldn't do ourselves? Let's don't shackle the gospel, is what he said. That's right. So he is saying here, and look at that statement, the acceptable year of the Lord. You can look it up all you want to, but you know, doing well, it's going to come down to the day that this is the day, this is the time when the fullness of time has come. God sent forth His Son. That's when we're talking about. And we're not talking about 760 or 50 B.C. when Isaiah's preaching. We're talking about the day Jesus is preaching. He said, this is the day. This is the day. We're going to close the book on the old way. We're going to close the book today. Circumcision's not how you get in. Proselyted Jews ain't how you get in. This messianic Masonic thing, this Hebrew messianic deal, it's another Judaism turning into a Jew to get saved. No, sir. That's all closed. That book's closed. That other book's open, though. Praise God. He opened that book, shut her down. He said it's going to be open. That's the way it's going to be, and we're not going to deal with it no more, and shut the book. I'm glad today, buddy, that I'm saved by grace. Amen. Read what that thing says. It says, I'm not going to look at all these words for you, but He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Right off the bat, the poor in spirit, they'll inherit the thing. You know what I mean? They'll be blessed in Matthew 5. So, right, first thing, poor, and then he goes to heal the brokenhearted, and he's preaching deliverance to captives, and recovering of sight to blind, and liberty to them that are bruised. It's the gospel day, amen. I'm glad today, praise God, he opened the book for me. He opened the book and made the way and shut her down and said, we'll never change it. That's why he got those cherubims on that Ark of the Covenant. They guard the message. She's closed. You can't change the message. If it ever does change, God will have to open the book again. He's the one who has to open that book. Amen. He's the one. You want to know when the book was opened, what the book was, and who opened it, and when it was closed, all that. That's great stuff. Amen. That's not the only book. There's more books. The fifth chapter of Revelation is a book that had seven seals. Huh? It was. Brother Milby, I want to cover a Bible for him one time. I said, come on, let me cover your Bible. He said, no, it's all right. I said, come on, Brother Milby, I want to cover your Bible. I want to do it for free. I can cover a Bible, good. He said, no, he just kept telling me no. I'm not talking about one or two times. Several years I tried to get him to let me cover that Bible. Finally one day he said, Brother Wayne, I don't want my Bible covered. I said, why don't you want it covered? He went, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Look at your Bible. Turn it over and look at the back edge of it. Count them lines across there. You know what he did? That's what he was referring to. Them seals. I don't care where that applies or not. He didn't want them seals messed with. Oh, don't you like that there right now? You know I like that book. That may not be that book, but I like respect for it. I honor that, Brother Ted. didn't want anybody tearing the back off of his Bible. I tore him off a lot of Bibles. Didn't want nobody tearing the back off that book. I tell you what else, there wasn't nobody writing in it either. I wrote 1,000 lines in one, if I wrote one. He didn't want nobody writing his errand. Nobody to tear the back off of it. I respect that. Hey, amen. That book is open there in the 5th chapter of Revelation. Had 7 seals. And the only one could open it was a lamb that turned out to be a lion, or a lion that turned out to be a lamb. Ain't that good? And them judgments came. That's that next piece in that verse. Vengeance. Amen. There's another book. There's other books. What are you going to do with them books in Revelation 20? The books were opened in another book. I'm glad about these books. I'm glad the breath of God has came in my life over that first book we read about right there. Oh, thank God He's made a way for me to be saved. I'm glad when I bow my unworthy head, that grace is wide enough and deep enough and broad enough to let a failure in. How much grace do you need this morning? You just tell me how much you need. You just need a little bit? I beg your pardon. I think you need more than you think you need. Be honest with you, I doubt there's anything in your flesh worthy of God saving. You need all grace. You need all. I like that first one right there. And then that second one. Oh, I'm glad I'm going to be out of town when that one comes. When he opens that 7-seal book and the judgment of God comes. Oh, I've made my reservation. I got myself tied to that first book, buddy. And the one that opened it, and when he opened it, I'm in his thing. Hallelujah, buddy. I'm glad I'm in there. But listen to me a minute. What about opening books and closing books? Think about that a minute. When it's him that opens a book, no man can close it, buddy. It's like that door opened. Amen. Nobody can close that book. He can't close it. Amen. When the Holy Ghost comes to you to save you, hey, nobody can close that book. But you. And you just resist the Holy Ghost and He'll pull that next one and shut that book on you. Shut that book on you. That's a sad minute. Hey, don't you never think, buddy, it can't happen in the best church in this holler. You better believe it, buddy. It can happen right in this church. I ask Him how many visitors we have. And just a few. This is a normal crowd. You telling me, buddy, the preaching and the power worship that's gone on in this building, and you sit here lost, you're crowding it hard, buddy. Some moment in your lasciviousness, your looseness of mind, that book's going to shut on you. It's going to shut on you. I'm going to tell you some more about these books. Come to my mind while I was praying. When He opens that book at the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be a hard day. I hate to think what I've got to look at over stewardship, not over sin. You understand, if there's one sin that you've got to be judged for, you'll go to hell. That's all. It's got to be all grace. You can't claim nothing. It's all grace. But I'm going to tell you what you did with that grace is going to come up that day. Did you listen, buddy? I can say a lot of things, Brother Dale Owens. I didn't know nothing. I'm going to preach. If I preach again this week, I'm going to tell you something, buddy. You've got to make choices all through your life. You better be sure that God is in them choices. Just because you jerked that steering wheel and jerked her out of the way don't mean you jerked it in the right way. That's right. Your logic hadn't got enough. You ain't got enough wisdom nor knowledge to turn your wheel where it ought to be turned. You better let Him do that turning. I've turned the wheel a lot of times because it made good sense. I just thought it was typically right to do and turned that wheel and found myself out in a weed patch somewhere trying to dig my way back. I've done that more than one time, Beverly. I've done that a lot of times, trying to get back, not realizing how serious the will of God is. But I can say one thing. I'll tell that preacher and you and everybody listen to my wife and my daughter and grandbabies. For 40-some years, if I made a turn, it was in ignorance. Buddy, I didn't do it on a purpose to get out of God's will. I've never avoided God for a minute, buddy. You can put her down. I just like I said before, if I didn't say it, I ought to say it. I hate driving a truck, big trucks. The bigger, the worser. That's a good hillbilly word. The bigger, the worser. In my day of driving a truck, brakes was just a dream. It's a figment of some mechanic's imagination. Ain't that right? I slammed the brakes on that big tandem load of rock. It's 62,000, supposed to have been 44. I slammed the brakes down on it. I saw the car right there in front of me. There was no way of stopping. I watched the mirrors all the time. My wife is thankful that she hasn't been killed over them mirrors. And mirrors are a livelihood of a trucker. I whipped it over in the right lane. I had a long ways to go to the bottom of that hill. I started pulling the red line on that big 477 cubic inch engine. I kept pulling her down. It was just red light. Boom, 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 double shifts, you know. Got the last one of Mustang sitting there. And that woman's either going to get killed or I'm going to tie the whole side of the road up. Amen. I hate brakes. I hate driving a truck, a big truck. I hate them because they don't stop fast enough and they don't take off fast enough. But you can ask the lady right there, I don't care about having no brakes, but that gas pedal, I've had it on the floor for over 44 years, trying to find God every way I know. You show me a pink where I think God is, and I'll be hunting it, buddy. I want God more than anything in this world. You ain't got nothing to offer me. I live about 10 miles from the only gold depository in the whole United States at Fort Knox Gold Vault. I wouldn't give you a dime just to see it. Brother Milby used to sing that song. I ain't preaching Brother Milby today, but he'd say, I got leaving on my mind. And he'd say, I couldn't care less if I could buy it all with a solitary dime. I always throw a penny out. For what good would a world do me with heaven on my mind, with Jesus on my mind? Are you listening to me? One of these days that book's going to close on you. You sit in this church and a holy touch of God rolling. Just read Paul Reuben through here. And you just resist it one more time. And one day he'll say yes, today, you know, I'm going to throw that lifeline out one more day. I'm going to throw that mirror on her one more day. Him, one more day. My wife got saved after we was married 12 years. I think it was 12 years. Anyway, she got saved at the end of the house. I was already pastoring a church. Say, oh, God wasn't in that. Well, you ever pot's got set on something about her, you just find yours and I'll find mine. I was married to her and she's the best wife I ever had. I didn't try no more. I wasn't even looking. I'm going to tell you what, I've been married 53 years and I'd marry that heifer again if she was looking for it. I like her, buddy. She's the only one could put up with me, amen. So she's really not a heifer. She's about a darling thing. Amen. She got saved out in a yard. She got saved in the yard. Standing up in a yard swing, clapping her hands. I don't know how you do that unless the Holy Ghost. And I saw a guy run the pews down south of Charlotte. He's about 6'4". He ran the pews and ran back. And the pastor told me later, he said, Lord have mercy, them pews wasn't even screwed down. That's how you know it's the Holy Ghost. When they ain't screwed down, they don't move. When they ain't screwed down, the Holy Ghost is in it. You can pretty near walk on water then. You know where the stumps are? You listen to me? Them books are open today. It's going to be a sorry day for me when the judgment seat of Christ, the records are pulled open. And I'm going to have to deal with that. I dread it. But I can say one thing, Brother Ken. Now, them first years, it's pretty sorry. But when I found out what I had missed, it was about 45 years ago. I found out, Dale Owens, what I missed. I never took my foot off the gas from that day so he can judge me back there. But one thing I can say, he can't judge me for not wanting all I could get. I bowed on them unworthy, crusted knees and said, Lord, I don't care what it takes. I want to know you. It's cost me, buddy. But I can tell you today I know him. It's not about him. I know him. Listen, you're saved and you're not dedicated to God, that judgment seat is going to be real nasty for you. It's going to be nasty. But look at me. When he gets done with Roy Wayne Henderson, my name is written in full in the Lamb's Book of Life. Written in full, Roy Wayne Henderson, born July the 16th, 1942, Valley Station, Kentucky. Born again July the 30th, 1955, in the same place, Valley Station, Kentucky. He looks all that up. Then he takes out that little record of my stewardship. Starts looking at it. It's going to be a nasty day. You listening? Does it make any difference what I'm saying? And when he looks down and he goes through all of it, and I don't know how long it'll take. Probably won't take an instant because it's all divine. But I'm going to tell you what's going to be a greater day. When he said, the book's closed now, son. When he closes that book that day, it ain't nothing but straight shot the rest of the way. When you get past the cemetery, the road clears all the way up. That's going to be a great day, Mike Mills. When he closes that book on that judgment seat of Christ, Ted, what about it? Ain't it going to be something, bud? When he shuts that book and said the judgment of your stewardship's over with, go on in, son, and inherit the Lord, the kingdom of the Lord. Get all you want. You don't have to count it. It's always there. Wade in the river of life. Wade in it. Drink out of it. Take the bread off of it. Take the fruit off the tree. Right back, buddy. Nothing's wrong here. Everything's right here. Don't have to resist nothing there. That's going to be a high day, buddy. It's going to be a high day, high day. But then what you going to do, though? When them other books are laying there open, my name is... Well, I see over here in the book of life, I see over here in the book of life where your name once was in there. But something has marked your name out. Apparently, now I'm just saying apparently, I don't have no final word on it. But apparently every one of your names in that book of life. Because God is looking forward to the moment you cry. Get up off of that seat and go to a blood-stained altar and lay your blood on that altar with the others and get born again. And when you do that, I don't know how he does it, but somehow or another he marks across that name and she's there forever. She'll never go out of there. You can tire, do anything, that name will never go out of there. But them other names, some of your names, are not covered with that blood. And they won't be in the book of life, but they will be in this other book. My name's over there too. But you know what? I believe we ought to preach a message on there's a library in heaven that nobody will ever read. It's a library. It's not just a book. It's books. Aaron, it's a library on Wayne Henderson. It's a library. It's every time I cuss. Every time I lied, and every time I misrepresented, every time I lusted and cheated, every time I was self-centered and self-righteous, every time I sought my own way, and I really put on a front, I made it look good. All of that. Well, nobody ever read it. You heard more than anybody else will ever hear. It's all in that book, but he'll never open it. He won't never open that book. When that other book was opened and he marked across there and said, Roy Wayne Henderson, born again July the 30th, 1955, saved by the blood, announced it out by his baptism 28th of August, 1955. Marks that all across there. Now you ain't saved by baptism. You're saved by that blood. Marks it all across there. When that marking came, that other book closed. It did it? You tell me if it did. You won't never, buddy, face the things you've done, sinning. You can't even breathe without sinning. A friend of mine said, I surely hope I've lived a day without sinning. He asked me about it. He said, what do you think about that? I said, I wouldn't make that with a barred mouth. Why is that? Because there's stuff you're doing you don't even know you're doing. Oh, we're eat up with it, buddy. We are eat up with it. We're completely contrary to God. I don't know how severe this thing's got. But when Eve introduced sin to her husband and he voluntarily took it, she was roped into it, but he voluntarily took it, voluntarily. I don't know how deep it went, but it went a whole lot deeper than I could get it out. Barry Warlow won't get it. And Bleach won't get it. Oh, no. It'll take grace to get it. Grace to reach down deeper than the blood, than the stain had gone. Both Roloff said. Let me ask you a question, Eve, this morning. Y'all listening to me? You gonna make a choice right now. See, I like, Brother Wayne, I like you preaching. That ain't what it's got to do with. It's what you're going to do with it. It's what you are going to do with it. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. When I get jerked into the judgment, it ain't going to be jerked in. I'm ready to get it on with it. I'm ready to get it over with. I know it's coming. I know it's coming. The judgment of my works. I mean, my stewardship. I know it's coming. I say, let's get it done. I don't want to have no more chance of messing it up. Get me on out of here. I tell her I love her the last time I see her. Every one of them kids, we don't ever part without saying, I love you. Go to bed, had a little spat. We don't have many. Say, honey, I hate to go to sleep with something between us. So don't let that happen. We'll just roll over and heal her up. I'd hate for her to wake up in the morning with a corpse remembering what was said between us. Amen, buddy. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Are you going to do anything about what you just heard? I got plenty of life to live. No, you don't, buddy. My best friend, at 7 years old, my best friend was busted down the highway like a dog. If he knew what I knew, he went to hell, and I would have too if I'd have been in his way. I already knew I was a sinner at 7 years old. I wasn't saved, but I know I was a sinner. And I bet you little Ralph did too. We was born the same day, next door neighbor, 16th of July, 42. If he knew what I did, he went to hell. I died in that same mess, I'd have went to hell. Cosmosdale, Kentucky. Some of you have been there. You used to play them baseball games, and we went down there a lot of times to watch them baseball games, and that's what Ralph's mom and daddy did. And they opened that door, and that little boy stepped up on that running board and started out in the highway and fell, stumbled out in the highway. And it run over him, just splattered him, just like a dog. Just like a dog. Little boy, 7 years old, just splattered him up and down the highway. I'm worried about that little fella out there. When's he going to be? He's smart as a tack. When's he going to go? When's he going to go across that line and have to be born again? Some of you are sitting here, I don't care how young you are, you already know you're a sinner. And you know where you're going when you die. If you don't get it took care of, you're going to hell, buddy. 7-year-old kids will burn this like a 57-year-old will, buddy, if you're not born again. So what I got to do, get right with God. Lay your heart on that altar and yield it all to God. Don't hang on to nothing. God knows more about living than you do. Then you get a little older. I got my life to live. The only thing you got to do with your life is get it saved. Sow the wild oats, you'll reap them. Here, there, somewhere. Why don't you get up out of that altar today? I mean, out of that seat today and get down on this altar and say, Lord, I hadn't been serious about my Christianity. I hadn't been serious. I have found that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. I've been saved 58 years now. I didn't know that, but I found out about 45 years ago that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. How can that be? It's because it's God. God's the only one can break His own record every day. Is that right? Does anybody want to tell me, is that right? He can break His own record every day. Every day. And how long is that going to be? Through eternity. You know what it says in Ephesians? I'm going to quit. I'm trying to quit. It says Ephesians 2, that's out throughout the ages, It says throughout the ages, the aeons, that's the Greek word aeons. You know what that means? It will take God aeons to tell you what He gave you when He saved you. It didn't take you very long to get saved, did it? Just as soon as I turned loose of my own life and let Him have it, boom, He saved me just like that. Boom, He saved me just like that. Hey, wasn't no birds going to pick Him seeds off. That was good ground, buddy. Boom, I was in the kingdom of God. I've been saved ever since. Well, let me ask you this. Come in. I don't know where we's going there with that, but just come on and pray. Just get up. Let's bow our heads and maybe you want to come and pray today. Don't miss God. Don't miss God. You'll be sorry. Let's stand together, please. Lord, I want to thank You for a ready turn of thought, Brother Burns used to say. Thank You, Lord, for letting us just tell a little bit of what's in our heart. I know there's much in there that You put in there and never, I don't guess ever get it out. The volume is overwhelming. Pray God You'd speak to the heart tonight, today. It's already been too long. Somebody's already waited too long. They should have hit the altar already. Somehow they missed the message. Sometimes it went right over their head, or maybe they just made an excuse and let it go by. Oh, please, Lord, save some sinner today. Bring some old saint that's just fooling around. Just fooling around. Oh, God. Bring them on in. It's a wonderful thing to let You open the heavens to us and let us see what glory there is for somebody saved. I pray and thank You for it. This good church and all that mean to us. In Jesus' name. Come on, preacher. You got it.
Amen. Maybe somebody here this morning, you've been saved, you're just cold-hearted. I'd move out this morning. Amen. You don't have to live cold and despondent, praise God. You can live for Him, praise God, and have joy every day. Maybe a sinner here this morning. Amen. Without a doubt, there's probably many. Might be your day, praise God, to get saved. Amen. Do you want to come? Anybody anywhere? Amen. Anybody say, preacher, I want you to pray for me. You'll acknowledge that by raising your hand. Say, pray for me, preacher. I know I'm not right with God. I need prayer. Anybody anywhere? Anybody? Father, I thank You and bless You this morning. Appreciate that You've done in our hearts today. Thank You for Brother Wayne, Lord, preaching to our hearts. And Lord, I realize, Lord, I've got a lot to answer for. But I'm glad a lot of it's in that closed book. And I thank You, Lord, that it'll never be known, it'll never be seen. You said our sins and iniquity You would remember no more. And I thank You for that. But help us, Lord, to be good stewards. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to serve You in these days. I pray You bless now in the rest of the services. Lord, bless tonight in the service. We gather here at 6 o'clock. Then in the morning services at 10, I pray You'd help us, Lord, that You'd be on the scene. Help us, Lord. I thank You for that You've done this morning in our hearts. Appreciate You meeting with us. Invite You to come back tonight. Help our hearts. And we'll praise You and thank You. We'll give You glory for that You do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You shake hands one with another. Now remember the services. Amen. 7:30, Monday through Wednesday night. Morning services will be at 10 o'clock. We'll close the camp meeting after the morning service on Thursday. Amen. So you make plans. It'll be wonderful to have this whole crowd, praise God, here with us every meeting. I realize some of you have to work. But praise God, try your best to be here in the night services. And you better come early. Amen. Because I'm looking to have a crowd, praise God. And amen. And by the way, if it's just me and Brother Wayne and his grandchildren and daughter and wife, praise God, we're going to meet with God. Amen. But I'm looking forward to a good crowd. And I trust, praise God, You'll pray much now as we leave here today for the service tonight and upcoming services. No traveling today. Amen. Be sure and come by and shake Brother Wayne's hand. You're at liberty to go. God bless you.